Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamyo, delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, text number 23. Tam vivakshum abhipretya mahapurusha kinkara sahasa pashyataha tasya tatra antardhire anagha tam vivakshum abhipretya mahapurusha kinkaraha sahasa pashyatastasya tatrantardhire naga tam vivakshum abhipretya mahapurusha kinkaraha sahasa pashyatastasya tatrantardhire naga. Apurusha kinkaraha Kamivakshumabhipratya Mahapurusha kinkaraha Mahasya pashitastasya Dandare nidhaha Vivakshumabhipratya Mahapurusha kinkaraha Asura Pashitastasya Rajande Nagaha. Ladies, Tami Vakshuma Vipretya Apurusha Kinkaraha Asura Pashitastasya Atantadre Nagaha Tam Vivakshumi Vipretya Mahapurusha Kinkaraha Sahasa Pashitastasya Atantadre Nagaha Tam Vivakshumi Vipretya Mahapurusha kinkaraha sahasa pashitastasya tatrantare yanaha tam him ajamyo vivaksum designed to speak abhipretya understanding Mahapurusha, Kinkara, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu. Sahasa, suddenly, Pashata Tasya. While he looked on, Tatra, there, Antaradire, disappeared. Anaga, O sinless Maharaj Parikshit. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O sinless Maharaj Parikshit, the order carriers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vishnu Dutas, saw that Ajamiya was attempting to say something, and thus they suddenly disappeared from his presence. Please repeat. O sinless Maharaj Parikshit, the order carriers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vishnu Dutas, saw that Ajamiya was attempting to say something, and thus they suddenly disappeared from his presence. Purport. The Shastras say, Papishta ye durachara deva brahmana nindaka apatya bhojanas tesham akale marnam dhruvam. For persons who are papishta, very sinful, and dharachara, misbehaved, or very unclean in their habits, who are against the existence of God, who disrespect Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, and who eat anything and everything, untimely death is sure. It is said that in Kali Yuga, one has a maximum lifetime of 100 years. But as people become degraded, the duration of their life decreases. Prayena payusha. Because Ajamiya was now freed from sinful reactions, his lifetime was extended, even though he was to have died immediately. When the Vishnu Dutas saw Ajamiya trying to say something to them, they disappeared to give him a chance to glorify the Supreme Lord. Since all his sinful reactions had been vanquished, he was now prepared to glorify the Lord. Indeed, one cannot glorify the Lord unless he is completely free from all sinful activities. This is confirmed by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanva moha nirmukta bhajante mamdrida vrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. The Vishnu Dutas made Ajamiya aware of devotional service so that he might immediately become fit to return home back to Godhead. To increase his eagerness to glorify the Lord, they disappeared so he would feel separation in their absence. In the mode of separation, glorification of the Lord is very intense. So the text again. Tam vivakshum abhipretya mahapurusha kinkara sahasa pashitas tasya tatrantar dudere naga. O sinless Maharaj Parikshit, the order carriers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vishnu Dutas, saw that Ajamiya was attempting to say something, and thus they suddenly disappeared from his presence. Mom Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarne. Where does this get turned off? Some things are mentioned here. One of them is that unless we become free from our sinful activities or reactions, then it's not possible to actually glorify Krishna. And the other thing is that feeling separation from Krishna with intensity will help us achieve Krishna consciousness in the most rapid method. Or then, in separation, intense, in glorification of Krishna is very intense. So two things. How to come to the platform of feeling separation from Krishna. Of course, unless we first become aware that there is a Krishna, then there is no question of separation from him. And unless we come to the platform of sinlessness, then there's no question of becoming completely aware of Krishna, at least sufficiently aware of Krishna to actually get enough experience of Krishna to become convinced that there is a Krishna, but to speak of feeling separation from it. Often the devotees, after some years of practice, they think that I've been practicing so long, then I must be advanced because I put in so many years. I remember when they had the new initiating spiritual masters in ISKCON, some of them were my friends, and they had all kinds of illusions and misconceptions about the process of bhakti. But because they were supposed to be perfect, at least they thought they were perfect, they thought it would be improper to have any illusions or even to get too humble because, after all, we're perfect. Therefore, whatever, even if we don't know anything, still we have to pretend at least that we do know something. And in that pretension, we're perfect. We're perfect pretenders. Because they thought, well, why? We've already been made perfect by being appointed to be initiating spiritual masters. So what do we have to do with sadhana bhakti for the neophytes? Because we're already perfect by appointment. Little did they know that one does not become perfect by appointment. One becomes perfect by perfectly following the process by which one becomes perfect. Therefore, those who claim to be perfect and yet they don't follow the process to become perfect, they don't demonstrate the process to become perfect, or in no time in their lives did they ever manifest or demonstrate the process by which they become perfect, then how can we believe that they're actually perfect? In what way are they perfect? They didn't perfectly follow the process or even bother to understand what the process is. And if they were perfect, they'd be able to explain perfectly what the process is according to time, place, and circumstance. And they'd understand that most people are not going to jump up to perfection simply by their will to become perfect. Therefore, Prabhupada mentions here in the verse, Yesham Andhikatam Papam. Generally, those who are deceitful, those who are foolish, those who are atheistic, those who are, always get this wrong, foolish is the mudas, the naradamas, those who are sinful, the atheistic are the mayapritaganas, and those who are deceitful, those are the, oh no, actually, that's the asurabhavam ashrityas, are those who are atheistic, and the deceitful are the Maya Pritigyanas. So those who are in those categories, they have no desire to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the process which begins, as Prabhupada explains, with following regulative principles, because we've come to the material world to become independent of Krishna, to be independent of Krishna's instructions especially. Independent of Krishna means that we don't want to follow Krishna's instructions. We may even meditate upon Krishna. We may even claim that Krishna comes before me whenever I want and he dances with Radharani. But because we don't want to follow his instructions, therefore we're not even on the very basic platform of surrender. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, the king sitting on his throne, and the fly is sitting on the king. Does that mean, and everyone's coming and paying obeisances to the king. So the fly is thinking, just by sitting on the throne, I'm getting so much respect. So someone may imitate a devotee, a pure devotee, but that doesn't mean he's actually achieved anything. Just like a pregnant woman who's pregnant, when she's giving birth, she'll make so many sounds. But if one is simply making, if a lady thinks, well, this lady's making so many sounds and giving birth, so let me make so many sounds and I'll give birth too, although I'm not pregnant. So that's not the process of giving birth. First become pregnant, then when you're giving birth, you may make so many sounds. Therefore, the most basic thing is to follow the principles of freedom. Raga, dvesha, vimuktaistu, vishan, indriyasaran, atma, vaisharvade, atma, prasadam, adigachati. By following the principles of freedom, everyone could become free from all attachment or aversion, and therefore achieve the full mercy of the Supreme Lord. It doesn't say someone will achieve the full mercy of the Lord, and then afterwards he'll become, follow the regular principles of freedom and become free from attachment or aversion. No, Prabhupada said first deserve and then desire. First follow the process and then you can achieve perfection gradually. Therefore, those who are a little pious, they follow, or at least in the beginning, sinful or pious, if they follow the principles, then they gradually become advanced. And what is that advancement? How do we know if someone's sinful or pious or following the Vedas? Then they gradually lose their taste for sinful activities. And therefore, becoming free from the cause of their distress, namely sinful life, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, mental speculation, gambling, becoming free from these things, gradually they start to inquire, what is the next stage? So the next stage is, all right, now I'm not uncomfortable, how to become comfortable? Naturally, if one is not fighting off the material miseries, naturally as one realizes that my main problem is I'm taking a stick and I'm hitting myself with it all the time, and someone comes along and says, well, I have a good solution to your problems, why don't you stop hitting yourself with a stick? So one who's intelligent will think, well, that sounds like good advice, and follow it. Another person will think, why do you have all these simplistic advice? I need something more profound than that. Give me the magic herb that I'll be cured. Well, why don't you just stop hitting yourself with a stick, and then you'll gradually won't have that problem, then we can give you some more advice. So similarly, those who give up the sinful activities and the desire for sinful activities, naturally they start inquiring what is the next step, and for most people it means following pious life. Pious life generally means establish oneself in a condition where there's fresh air, clean water, proper food, nice relationships with others, freedom from anxiety, the mode of goodness. Then established in the mode of goodness, then one will see that this is a higher taste, but there must be something more. So, therefore, one will be able to, in the mode of goodness, be able to hear and understand what is lower, what is higher. One will be able to discriminate, and therefore one can actually hear some spiritual knowledge. Hearing spiritual knowledge, one will understand that there's a process called devotional service. Or, what we should say, hearing spiritual knowledge, one will be able to tolerate the dualities of material existence. The sinful reactions, because even I'm trying to live in the mode of goodness, even I'm living in a nice environment, even I'm following the principles, still there will be so many causes of disturbance. So it's not enough simply to give up sinful activities. It's not enough to come to the mode of goodness and perform pious activities. One also has to learn tolerance. Otherwise, we see great sages like Vishvamrita Muni or Vashistha Muni even. Sometimes they curse even their own disciples for doing a very small mistake. Somehow or another, although they were situated in the mode of goodness, they didn't learn tolerance. So learning tolerance, learning to tolerate the reactions to our past activities, then one can certainly become fixed in hearing and one can accept the process of devotional service. Because generally everyone in the material world is performing their activities either to get free from distress or to find a more comfortable situation or to get out of the problems of the reactions for our sinful activities or pious activities. So one who's heard properly, who's gotten free from these attachments, then they can certainly perform their activities out of devotion to Krishna, accept the process of devotional service, and then gradually rise up to the platform of being able to meditate in trance upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when one's meditating in trance upon the Personality of Godhead, there is so much transcendental pleasure that one cannot give up that association with Krishna even for a moment. But if one is not on that platform, simply trying to remember Krishna will not produce transcendental ecstasy at every moment. Instead, one may neglect the activities which will actually help one come to the platform by which one will be able to meditate upon Krishna. Therefore, one has to understand what platform one is actually on and therefore act accordingly. Then, if one understands the science of devotional service, one can act accordingly, and one will be able to help others act accordingly also. Because at least one will be able to perceive those who are on the same platform one is on, or perhaps even lower, and give them advice how to make advancement. And if one tries to imitate higher devotees, and pretend, or even imagine oneself, or falsely think oneself to be on a higher platform, and therefore not understand the different stages, one will not be able to adequately help one's followers to go from step to step to step. This idea that everyone can achieve the full mercy of the Lord just by desiring to get it, it's just like everyone can become a PhD student just by desiring to get an honorary degree from the university. As if the university is going door to door, knocking on people's doors, asking if you want an honorary PhD degree. Rarely the university hands out honorary PhD degrees, but even those people who get them, they're usually deserving in some ways. Similarly, to imagine ourselves to be on a higher platform, imagining ourselves to have achieved the complete mercy of the Lord, just by desiring to do so without actually doing the activities necessary to achieve that position, this is called sahajya. Of course, in this age when people are, as it says, papishta and durachara, then people do not live very long. And therefore, they don't even get enough time to even find out what the process is. Therefore, it is not that following normal activities like washing our hands before we eat, and that implies that we do put some emphasis upon brahminical, sattvic behavior so that we don't decrease our life by what's explained here, unclean habits, eating anything, and disrespecting Brahmins and Vaishnavas, that we actually try to live a peaceful life, a clean life, a brahminical life, so that our lifetime is not so short that we don't have time to actually hear what the science is, and therefore make a sincere effort to follow it. Otherwise, if we think it's all sentiment, it's whatever you feel like you do, and if you get enough sentimental people together, and they get together and they encourage each other to become fanatics, then they've reached the highest fanatical platform that's possible. And by such fanaticism, certainly they'll break into the transcendental platform of consciousness. Krishna will see all these fanatics are approaching me. All these gatekeepers at the doors of Vaikunthas will see all these fanatics approaching. They'll become afraid, and they'll all run into Vaikuntha, and the gates will be open. And therefore, we can break into Vaikuntha simply by our fanaticism. No, but that's not how it works. Jayan Vijayan and others will not be so impressed, just like they were not impressed even by the four Kumaras at first. What to speak of us? No, instead, one has to seriously consider what is the process of devotional service, and then within our lives, in our daily lives, seriously consider, not once in a while, but as often as possible, whether I'm actually following the process as outlined in the scriptures. So if I think I don't need the books, I don't need to understand knowledge, I don't need anything, I just need a little fanaticism, enthusiasm. And therefore, somehow or another, by some causeless mercy, then I'll achieve everything, maybe at the time of death, because it doesn't look like I'm achieving much right now. No, if we're not perfect at the time of death, it's unlikely we're going to go back to the kingdom of God. And if we don't make any progress in this lifetime, it's very unlikely we're going to achieve the kingdom of God either at the time of death. It's just as likely to, is more likely to make progress right now at this moment than it is when we're leaving our body. Although it says, in great difficulty, if one is trained up to think about Krishna, then even in great difficulty, guru na pivi chalyate, one will be able to take advantage of that opportunity and think about Krishna. But even in the absence of difficulty, if we can't even think about Krishna, or if there's even the slightest inconvenience, we immediately forget about Krishna, then why do we think that at the time of leaving this body, when there's great inconvenience, somehow or another we're going to come to a whole different platform of perfection, a whole different platform of consciousness, of motivation? No, unless we practice in the little challenges, we won't be able to meet the big challenges. Prabhupada gives the example, all these big, big horses are trying to cross this very swift river, and they're all being swept away. But one skinny horse with emaciated horse thinks, well, all these horses got swept away, but I'm going to give it a try anyhow. No, if the big, big horses are getting swept away, how is a skinny, emaciated horse going to make it across the river? So first become a big, strong horse before the time of leaving this body. Don't think, well, I don't really have to practice devotional service in the way it's described in the scriptures, because by the mercy of my spiritual master and Krishna, they'll make up for everything at the time of death. And in the meantime, I do what I like. But they're so merciful, they're unlimitedly merciful, that it's all going to work out at the end. Many people thought like that, and that's why we're back here now, trying to do this, work it out. So we should understand, even we may not become perfect at the time of death, even we may not go back to the spiritual world, but if we make an endeavor to actually follow the process during this lifetime, become serious about it, then in a very short period of time, we'll be back in the spiritual world. And if we don't, if we just imagine by causeless mercy everything will be taken care of, and in the meantime I just follow my mind and senses, then life after life after life will wind up more or less doing the same thing. So we have to try to understand what is the process and see whether or not we're following it. And then the result is Krishna will help. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. He'll make things clearer and clearer. And gradually the things that are impeding us, they'll be presented before us, and then we'll have a choice. Do I want to give it up? Do I want to keep it? Is this attachment so precious I can't give it up? I'll have to wait a few lifetimes. Show me something else, maybe I'll give that up, but not this. I got to store it away for a while. No, Krishna will present the attachments, and we don't want to give them up. All right, he'll store it away, and he'll show us something else. But ultimately, it will come back to us. Do you want this? Yes, I want that. Well, sorry. If you don't want to give it up, then what can I do? But eventually, Maya will chastise us, and we'll be able to see the actual face, the real face of the illusory energy. And therefore, gradually, even the things that are very difficult to give up, as we make advancement, gradually they'll be forgotten about with greater and greater ease. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
We see many of our devotees, after hearing philosophy very clearly, that, you know, the destination based on our activities and desires, still, like, we just focused on working like 12 or 13 hours a day and accumulating things. So why is that?
Well, as it says here, prayena yapasha jana Kalavasmin Yugejana, Manda Samanda Matyo, Manda Bhagyu Padrutaha. People in this age are slow, slow for spiritual realization. And even if they want real spiritual realization, they generally choose someone to follow that misleads them. And even if they get the right person, they can't hear from them. And even if they hear from them, their minds are too disturbed to actually follow them. So this is unfortunate age. But as the age goes on, as things get more difficult, then we'll become more inspired to surrender. As all these toys we have go away, then we'll be left with nothing but Krishna. And that time is coming too. There's only a limited amount of toys that we're destined to get. And as that destiny, as destiny has it, as our toys are disappearing, then the only thing left will be Krishna. So people are lamenting our economy is going down and this and that. But actually it's Krishna's mercy to give people in the United States an opportunity to focus more on Krishna than on the toys that Krishna gave them for Christmas. Yes.
Thank you for a very nice class, Maharaj. In the beginning of your talk, you made some pretty sharp statements regarding appointed spiritual masters, which are probably well-deserved. But just for balance, there are a class of devotees who think that I've made progress over the last 30 years, but somewhere that these fellows, they haven't made any progress. They're still stuck in 1977 or 78. So just for balance, we should, for fairness, that some of them maybe were neophyte at the time. They're definitely so. But that doesn't mean that they've remained neophyte and they're still neophyte 30 years later.
Well, neophyte, advanced, whatever. The point is, my point was not only the spiritual masters or those who were appointed. After all, some of them were only in the movement when they were appointed for 5 years or less, some of 4 years. And suddenly they were in a position where they had little opportunity to actually learn the basic philosophy. So, of course, they were bewildered, but everyone else was bewildered. Many people besides them were bewildered. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had that opportunity to have been put into that position to show us the example that they were wrong, and everyone else was wrong, too. So, there was disturbances created by it, but an intelligent person, if they can't learn by hearing, at least they should learn by experience. And those who are fools, they don't learn at all. So, of course, my point was not that everyone who takes the role of a spiritual master doesn't have any idea where he's actually, what his position is. But my point was, if we think we become perfect just by getting a certain role, that our perfection is in our activity rather than in our actual realization, then we're wrong. We have to follow the process. And even if we do become perfect, then at least Sri Rupa Goswami says externally we should act as a neophyte, even if internally we're engaged in Krishna's service on the spiritual platform. So it's everyone's duty to follow these principles and not to, especially in our society, which is a preaching society, not to imitate advanced devotees. Yes.
Nice class. What about that idea that Papa says in Kali Yuga is the tendency that we want to be cheated? Could you say something about that?
Well, not only Prabhupada, but in the throughout our scriptures it mentions that, that there are four goals of life, namely dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. But in Kali Yuga, there is no dharma, practically speaking. People have no idea what their dharma is, and they have no idea what the goal of life is, moksha. So mainly we have shudras and vaishyas who are working. The vaishyas are working hard to cheat the shudras, and the shudras are working hard to get cheated by the vaishyas. So we just have economic development for sense gratification with no idea what the nitevidu, swarthikitim, yivishnu. They have no idea that the goal of life is to attain Vishnu. Therefore, they're working hard for something which is completely insignificant.
Isn't that one guy, Barnum? Can he say that there's a sucker born every minute?
I think it's more like it's like half a second nowadays.
So just by that, it seems to me that, you know, a lot of us want to be cheated, so we look for the easiest way.
We've come to the material world. Our very false ego is cheating us. Instead of working for ourselves, our real interest, we're working for our senses and mind due to the fact that we're cheated by our false ego. So it's not like we need anyone outside to cheat us. We're already being cheated from within. We're cheating ourselves. Because we've come here to become the Lord and the enjoyer, and it's very hard. We may not think ourselves the biggest Lord or the biggest enjoyer, but we want to at least be, you know, on the list of the Lords and enjoyers. So to give up that tendency is not so easy. Therefore, humbly we have to practice sadhana bhakti, understanding that we're in a precarious position. And therefore, if we're a little humble and thoughtful, we may make some progress to get out of this false ego, this false conception of life. And eventually come to the real conception, real experience of being a humble servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.